It's good to be in the house of God tonight. It's good that we have a God that is not dead. We have a living God. A God that is not unreachable, but we can reach Him. A God that is not unlovable, but we can love Him. And I want to ask all of God's children tonight, as we sit here in this service, let's take the thought that we might be sitting next to one that doesn't know Jesus. One here tonight that can't say that they can love God. Don't understand the things that maybe we have already begun to feel in our hearts. I know I might be, I hold back to say strange, but might be unknown to some of you. Let me start out tonight by saying this, that the same God and the same Jesus that you know here at Silver City is the same one I know back home. I've been born again, blood bought, and on my way to glory. And it's not my purpose this week that when everything is said and done, that you go and you remember me and you remember my name. But what I'm here for this week is I want to decrease so that He might increase. It's not going to hurt my feelings that when this revival comes to an end and you can't remember my name, just as long as you know who Jesus is. And He knows you. I want you to pray just like you would for Brother Russell now. And some of these other preachers here might know what I'm talking about. But the longer I've been in this, the more tore up I get. I've been sick all day long. Because it's a serious thing for a man to stand between the living and the dead and try to find himself in the place to where God might use him to bring a good gospel message. And that's my desire tonight. So I desire that all of God's people get behind me tonight. Now, I know I'm not going to be like Russell or any of these other men, but I've got to abide in my own calling. But I want the unction. I don't want to stand up here and make a lot of words, but I want the unction from the Holy Ghost. That whatever God has for this moment that might speak to the heart of that one that's in the greatest need. Do you realize tonight that the soul that might be the closest one to falling off into the pits of hell might be sitting in this church tonight? It's serious business, folks. And I want to do my part that Jesus might be lifted up. Because He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So now let's go to the Word of God. If you want to read along with us, turn to the book of St. John, chapter 9. I asked Brother Russell before I got up, before we sung too many songs, I said, now, I don't want to offend the service tonight if I take my coat off. I just can't preach with my coat on. So if it bothers you, I'm sorry. But I want to be right with the Lord. Don't want to be hindered. So I'm going to take this jacket off and we're going to go into the Word of God. And try to be used of Him tonight. I don't know how much we'll read. We're just going to read till God says, put the brakes on. And then we'll go from there. Chapter 9, St. John's Gospel, beginning with verse number 1. Very important to what's on our hearts tonight, these first few words. And as Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Now we're going to stop right there. With the reading, may read a little bit more in a minute, but go back to verse number 1 and let me tell you what God put on our hearts. When Jesus passes by, things are going to happen. When Jesus passes by, things are going to happen. The Bible said this man, and I don't know how old he may have been. All we know is that from the scripture it said he was of age. But he'd been born blind, never had seen with these natural eyes. And I thought about today of how that he must have sat where he was day in and day out. With never a thought of ever getting his sight, with never a thought of maybe finding that healing that he needed in his life. But then Jesus passed by, and he came by that way. Listen, and the Bible said that he spit upon the ground and anointed that man's eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam. I want you to notice tonight, it takes a little effort. Listen, Jesus, when he comes by, he can fix whatever's wrong in our life. But sometimes it might require a little effort from us. Listen tonight, that man, I sat there today in my living room and began to ponder what must have went through this man's mind. Here was a stranger come up to him there and spat and made clay and began to wipe his eyes there and told him to go wash. And you think about it, that was just one strange thing maybe to happen. But then I got to think about what they said over there on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? Then I got to thinking about in another place where it said, there never is a man that spake like this. Listen tonight, you might be wondering, who is this that's speaking to me? You might be wondering, what will it be when Jesus talks to me?
I want you to understand tonight, nobody has the voice of the Lord. He's an individual. Nobody can speak like him. Listen tonight. That man sat there. And no doubt, I heard a lot of things from a lot of people. Tonight, when Jesus passed by, there was a difference in his voice. Hey, listen to that, church. When Jesus comes by, Silver City, it's going to change some things. Listen tonight, folks. The man got up and he went and washed. I want to encourage you, if the Lord's speaking to you right now, get up and come. Don't worry about me. I'll do two things. I either shut up or keep going. And either way, it's going to be all right. But listen, there he went and washed at the command of the Lord, and he got his sight. I tell him all the time, there at the little church where I'm trying to pastor, I say this, I say, God does not convict, what then he will not draw, and God will not draw where he will not save. Listen, you can't have one without having the other two. If God is convicting, he's going to draw, and if the Lord is drawing, bless God, he'll say.
Yes, he will.
And I got to thinking again about this man, how he must have felt over there at the pool. I don't know how far he had to go. Listen, the journey's different for all of us. Not every one of us in this place that's been saved has had the same journey. It's individual. That's why I believe it was Paul wrote, said, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, dear heart, though tonight, you might be on the back bench. You might be in the middle. You might be toward the front. I don't know. But I'll say this, as Jesus is calling, he's passing by, make your journey to where he wants you to go.
Amen.
To come and pray. But I thought about how it must have been. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he jumped in our head first. I don't know if he got to the side and rolled off in there. I don't know if he just reached down his hand and got a handful of water and just started wiping. It really don't make no difference. But then I got to thinking about, boy, when he opened them eyes up. Something that he hadn't had his whole life. The command of Jesus, he got it. Listen, let me tell you something. When I was 15 years old, one Sunday night in the bedroom at Mama and Daddy's house, I found something I never had in my life. I found salvation through Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
It was because Jesus passed by. You go and read this chapter. Just like a lot of folks today that are God's children, we have to face some flack. We have to face some stuff that the devil wants to throw at us. This man did. You can read about it. The religious people, they jumped all over him. Made him so mad. What he was saying made him so mad, the Bible said they even threw him out of the synagogue.
They were so rough on him. Brother Danny, that is, even his mom and daddy were afraid. I just say anything for him. They said, he's of age, ask him. But I want you to notice something when you read it. When he got thrown out of the synagogue, what's the first thing he did? He started looking for Jesus. I want to go. I can see now. I've got my sight. I want to go find this man. They asked him, listen, you can go read it. The Pharisees were asking him, I said, by what manner doth thou see? And he said, they said, is this man a sinner or no? He said, I don't know whether he be a sinner or not, but all I know is I once was blind, but now I see. Somebody asked me one time, is there really anything to this stuff called salvation you talk about? Is it really something? I said, you bet it is. Have you ever tried to sit in and come up with words to explain what happened to you the night the Lord saved you or the day the Lord saved you? Have you ever just thought, if somebody come up and said, explain to me verbatim what the Lord did in your heart when he saved? I can't find the words. I wouldn't even know how to begin, Brother Les, to explain. But that doesn't change the fact that what he did, I know is real.
That's right, amen.
Now, the Bible don't say this. And this is just a thought that I had. But I thought to myself today, I bet this man never did lose his sight anymore. Well, preacher, how can you say, listen, what God does, he does right the first time. The Lord saved me, and praise God, I've never been lost. Now, I've been out of his will a time or two, but I've never been lost again. The Lord fixed it that night. I believe he fixed that man's sight. When Jesus comes by, things will happen. Now, I want you to listen to me, lost friend, tonight. Hear me good. Listen, you might think, well, I'll wait till some other time. There's too many people here for me to come. I don't want to come. Maybe somebody ain't here that you wish was. Oh, be careful. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Why? Because when Jesus passes by, things are going to happen. I tried several times when I was lost to take care of what was going on in my soul by myself. Didn't work. Jesus wasn't dealing with me. I just thought this would be a good time to pray. I've mentioned this often. My parents are sitting back there and they can attest to part of this. Daddy's front yard, kind of like a big old square. He told me that morning before he went to work, he said, son, I want you to have the yard cut now when I get home. I said, yes, sir. And he had one of them red snapper riding lawnmowers that cut about 3 inches with each lap. And I cranked that thing up and I started making laps. And I just thought to myself, ain't nobody here but me. Mama's at work. Daddy's at work. I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord to save me. I don't know. After the 309th time around that front yard. The only thing different about me, praying every lap, the only thing different about me was I once was dry, but now I'm sweaty. My soul was still the same. But let me tell you, Jesus passed by my way that Sunday night in October. There and I heard His command. I opened my heart to Him and He changed me from the inside out. Listen, do y'all know tonight that the devil's a liar? Do you know that? The devil will lie to you as quick as anything. He's got people believing that all it takes to be saved is just do this and do this and do this, like a checklist, just a bullet list, just checking things off. You get to the end. Hey, listen, salvation is not a 12-step program, but salvation is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, and He is the only one that can impart that in the souls of men.
That's right, amen.
But I'm thankful when Jesus passes by, things happen. I don't know if I could stand having a dead religion or a dead belief. I don't know if I could stand it. I know how my mind is, and I'd be in a mess. My mind would get intertwined with that thing. I'm glad there's a feeling to salvation. Preacher, how you know you're saved? Because I feel it on the inside. And let me tell you something. God don't give off the second shelf. He didn't go to the bargain counter and get it. But when the Lord saves, it's first quality. But Jesus has to pass by. That's the only time it's ever going to happen. But now you look in this chapter, I'm just about done, but you look in this chapter toward the end of it. This young man, he goes and he looks for Jesus. He has a desire for Jesus. I was raised in church. I told the Union Hill Sunday morning, I said, I don't have a memory of ever not being in church. A lot of you were probably in that same way. Don't ever have, I can't, as hard as I try, I don't have a memory of not being in the house of God. But I told the church this past Sunday, I said, that didn't matter. I still needed to be saved. I guess I was, could be considered 98.9% good, but I still 100% lost. In church, knew all that, but I still had to meet the Lord Jesus on the terms of the gospel. When the Lord saved me, there was a feeling that came with it. How do you think that man felt when he wiped maybe that wet hand across his eyes and opened him up and he saw? Lost friend, I'm going to tell you right now, If you'll come to the Lord tonight, you'll be amazed at the feeling that comes with salvation. It's not empty, but you only can come if Jesus is passing by. I want to come with a song. I don't want to belabor. The Lord's dealing with someone. I feel that. Now, church, it's up to us. Now, listen to me. Russell said, make myself at home, so that's what I'm fixing to do. A lot of times when it gets down to the altar call, that's when we get a little lazy. Well, we just about done in just a few minutes. We'll be able to get out the door and we'll be able to go home. But please, I'm asking you tonight, let's don't be that way. Because I feel in my heart, if there ever is a time in a church service that God's people need to honor God and lift Him up in praise, worship, and obedience, it's when the invitation's given. Because that lost person needs to see Jesus high and lifted up. They need to see Him in His fullness. Brother Russell said it last night. It takes the church for salvation. I say this. The shepherd don't have sheep. Sheep have sheep. So now whatever it is that God is asking us to do as a church, whatever, as small and insignificant as it is, my daughter is here tonight. And if you ask her, the night that she got saved, sitting at the end of the bench, a gentleman was sitting there, and God knew that she wouldn't move because she wasn't going to go by that man. And God simply told him, he went to pray, and somewhere between when he left his seat and coming back, God said, you sit in another place. And he moved to another bench, and she went out. The Lord saved her that night. I'm not trying to tell her testimony, but what I want you to see is the little things. Little is much if God is in it. So whatever it is that God wants you to do, church, be obedient. And you do that little thing, or the big thing, or the medium-sized thing. God does not work one-ended. If He's working on your end, He's working on somebody else's. So now as we stand, Brother Russell, Grayson, step out. Stand to our feet. They sang this selection. Be obedient tonight.